Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read something here that I found. I might have read this here before, but I don't care. I thought it was funny. So I'm going to read it again. These are comments made by 16 police officers that were taken off their car videos from all around the country. Comments that they made to people that they were dealing with. I'll just read a couple of them here. Relax. The handcuffs are tight because they're new. They'll stretch after you wear them a while. If you run, you'll only go to jail tired. Can you run faster than 1,200 feet per second? Because that's the speed of the bullet that'll be chasing you. Warning? You want a warning? Okay. I'm warning you not to do that again, or I'll give you another ticket. Yeah, we have a quota. Two more tickets and my wife gets a toaster oven. Just how big were those two beers you said you had? Isn't that funny though? I don't know, you ever watch that show Cops? Anybody? Every once in a while, when there's nothing else on TV. They always, whenever they get caught and pulled over for DWI or something, it's always, oh, I just had a couple. You know, oh, I had two beers. I had a beer. It's never, yeah, I sat down and just got drunk and drank a whole case. No, it's never that. I only had two beers. Okay, good deal. All right. I'm glad to hear that the chief is a personal friend of yours, so you know someone who can post your bail. Then this one. You didn't think we give pretty women tickets. You're right, we don't. Sign here. Ouch. All right. All right, let's go down to verse 35. We're going to read a passage of Scripture here that many of you have read, a story that we've all heard many, many times. And I got something, just kind of a fresh take on it. I hope it's fresh anyways. I hope nobody else has done this, but it was a blessing to me. So if nothing else, I'll get a blessing. You guys can go to sleep. All right? Verse 35, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and the blessing that it is. And I pray as we share it tonight, it would be a blessing to these people as well. In your name, amen. All right. You know, we could take the usual route, or, you know, we've heard many sermons on this passage of Scripture, and, you know, we could go with the, you know, all these stupid disciples. You know, they had Christ in the boat. They have God in the flesh, in the boat, and they've seen him heal a leprous man. They've seen him heal a man that was possessed by the devil in the temple. They've seen him heal the hand of the withered hand of the man. And they've seen all these miracles take place, and he's lying there in a boat sleeping while this tempest is raging. And the answer to their problems at that time was laying right there in the boat. I mean, how many times have we done that? How many times have we tried to take matters in our own hands? And the answer is right there. We have the answer right here in the Word of God. We've got the answer in preaching tapes and messages we've heard over the years. You know, just... But we always panic, you know. You can imagine the disciples running around. You know, it was like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, bailing it out. You know, they got the buckets and everything. I don't know if they had buckets in those days or not. But they'd all using their hands or shoes or sandals or whatever, you know, trying to get the water out of the boat. And here's Christ. And the thing that really stuck out to me in this story as I read it this time, how can you sleep in a boat full of water? Seriously, the boat was full of water. If I had a boat full of water, I wouldn't be sleeping. All right, I'd be treading water trying to figure out what am I going to do next. But I'm sitting there, but then I read it again and I'm like, that's amazing. He was sound asleep. And the boat was full of water. The boat's probably rocking, I mean, out of control, full of water, and he's asleep. So I looked at that and I said, I want that kind of peace. That's the peace I want. When the storms of life hit, you know, how many songs are in the hymn book about storms that we face? Will your anchor hold? You know, and we face it. But I want that kind of peace. If the life hits its worst and I get hit in the face with everything that could possibly happen, I can take a nap knowing that it's taken care of. That the peace of God is just, it passeth all understanding. And I tried to pick a title for this, so I chose a piece that passes all understanding. That's the obvious one. And then I wrote napping in a boat full of water. So I think I'll stick with that one. You know, we all face troubles. We all have hard times. Maybe it's a lost family member. Maybe it's somebody who just passed, somebody who's near and dear, a relative that just passed away, or a friend that's hurting, or someone you've been praying for years to get saved. We all face these storms in life. Maybe the money isn't there, but the bills are always there, aren't they? You know? But we have a God that can sleep in a boat full of water. And we're supposed to be like Christ. Our goal is to be like Christ. So evidently it's achievable, it's attainable for us to have peace like that, where whatever comes our way, it's not a big deal. We know God's in control. You know, I, like everyone in here, fails at that. Something happens, you know, something happens with the car. Well, how are we going to pay for this? Where's that money going to come from? God knows. He knew that tire was going to go flat. He knew that engine part was going to fall apart. He's seen the cars we drive. You know, he knows things are going to go wrong. So let's just take, I got a lot of scripture here tonight, but I'll try not to keep you here too long. And you're hoping for that, right? And we're just going to go through the Bible and see how can we have that peace where we can sleep in a boat full of water. I remember as a kid, you know, when I'd get tired of fishing with my folks, I'd curl up in the front of the boat and sleep, you know, crawl into a seat or something and just fall asleep. I remember one time we were up, there's a lake up north we used to go to, and we'd troll with cane poles. And, you know, 20-foot cane poles. And you're holding these and you're fishing for northerns. And I remember we'd be out there for hours, you know, and we're catching a lot of fish, but after a while it just kind of gets old, you know. You think that's crazy, catching fish, but I'd sit there, and as a young kid, I'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden I'd start nodding off, and my pole would start going like this, and my dad would reach out, he'd see me falling asleep, and he'd reach out and grab my line and go like that, and I, you know, okay, all right, you know, but falling asleep in a boat, that's not a big deal, but a boat full of water, that's just an amazing. I want, personally in my life, I want that kind of peace, where I can fall asleep in a boat full of water. So let's take a quick look. Now, the outline is real simple, but yet it's real hard because normally we don't do it. We don't do the simple things. And I think that's a lot of times where we run into our problems. We don't do the basics. So the first, let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. I have a lot of scripture here tonight, so I'm just going to read over and just make a quick observation and go on with each verse, hopefully it's quick. Starting in verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. So right there, the first thing is in verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. Number one, be doers of the word of God. Simple. It says in James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I mean, we come here every three times a week. Next week, it's going to be more than that when Brother Gip gets here. But we're going to hear a lot of the word of God in the next week and a half or so. The teens even more so. They're just getting done with camp, and then Brother Gip comes into town. So they're going to be getting it with both barrels. But what are we doing with that? Are we being doers of that word that we hear? Are we really taking what we hear on Sunday? We hear many people pray, myself included, saying, help us to take what we hear today and take it with us out and make it part of our lives. Do we really do that, or has it just become a cliche? Being doers of the word. Let's turn over to Isaiah 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. In other words, they didn't. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. So if we take the word that we say we're going to take out into the workplace and outside the doors and into public and be a testimony for God, if we fail to do that, look at what we're missing. We're missing the peace that's going to flow like a river. I grew up when I was between the ages of, I think it was 3 and 7. We lived on a farm up by Malacca, and we lived right by the Rum River. It was right down the street from us. And I was too young to really enjoy it at that time. But you go down by a peaceful river, a river that's just flowing along. And I'll tell you what, if you can really clear your mind there. Or going down south, we used to go to Florida quite a bit, and you go out on the beach and just listen to the waves hit the water. There's something calming about water. There's something calming about a river just kind of making its way through the landscape of a countryside and all that. There's also something about catching big fish. But that besides that, to clear your head, to go sit by. I remember many times before I met my wife, I'd go down to Stillwater and sit by the river and just sit there with it, no sound, and just watch the water. It was calming. It was a peaceful time for me. And God says, because you didn't do my commandments, look at what you sacrificed. You sacrificed that peace that you could have had just by doing what I asked you to do. Turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, here's another one talking about being doers of the word. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you. There it is, the word of God. Okay? These things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There it is. These things I have spoken unto you. You go out in the world, I'll admit, today I had a trying day mentally, and I'm sure many of you did out in the workplace, hearing the language and the way people talk anymore. It's just vulgar, and they have no respect for authority, and it just kind of wears on you after a while. You know, 20 years of babysitting 20 plus year olds, it gets old. It gets old, and they don't get it. And it wears on you. But here we have God's Word, the Word of Almighty God in our hands. And He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that ye might have peace." Now, I missed something today. There's something I could have applied to my life that would have gotten me through that today. But I didn't do it. And I let it get to me. I let this world of tribulation, trials get to me today, because I didn't have the Word there with me. That's a pretty sobering thing. God said, I gave you, here's the solution for peace. All you got to do is do it. And I didn't do it. And I had a rough day. I had a bad day. It was all over me. And I tell you, I missed out. I missed out on God's blessing today because I didn't have the Word there. Now, so being doers of the Word of God, it's easy to say. It's easy to say. It's just like Monday morning when you say, "Boy, if I would have been the coach of the Vikings, we should have done this." Well, that's easy to say. You're not the coach of the Vikings. All right? Or anything. You know, it's easy to sit back and say. It's like on Sunday, "Boy, help this words to penetrate our hearts and be part of our lives." It's easy to say. Harder to do. But God says, if you want peace, be doers of the Word. Be doers of the Word. If you want to sleep in a boat full of water, just do what I say. Just do what I say. Second thing, meditate on His Word. Meditate on His Word. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. Some of these are repeats, so later on you won't have to turn, all right? But Psalm chapter 4. Starting in verse 4. Stand in awe. What a phrase. What a phrase. You think of God and who He is and what He's done for us. You can do nothing but stand in awe of what He's done. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness into my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Meditate on His Word. Meditating on His Word. Stand in awe. Looking at the words that He spoke unto us and just thinking about, wow. Have you ever really sat and think about it, where you sat down and thought about it, where He wrote this to me? This is the Word of God, and it's for me. I mean, just to think about the simple things like that. You know, What an amazing thing that He did that for me. And just to stand there, and just all you can do is like, wow, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. You can do that while you're sitting by the river, watching the river go by. Anyways, okay, another one, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee." Whose mind is stayed on Thee. Excuse me for just a second. Back in those verses we just read in Psalm chapter 4, I lost my train of thought. Okay? Verse 4, "Stand in awe and sin not." But that phrase, "Commune with your heart upon your bed." Commune with your own heart. Sit there and think. You know, how dirty is our heart? How filthy it is. And to sit sometimes and meditate, to lay on your bed and just think, or sit in a chair at home and have it quiet. I know that's impossible for some with kids, but to sit and have it quiet, And the thoughts that come to your mind are, some of them are pretty vulgar. Some of them are pretty nasty. And to take that time and commune with it, take the Word of God and say, and get it right. Say, that's not right. Commune with your own heart. Get your heart right. You know, I never thought about that before. You hear that all the time. Hey, you need to get your heart right. You got to talk to your heart. You got to keep it in check. The thoughts that come into your mind sometimes, it's like, wow, where did that come from? My lands, that's just nasty. Then you commune with your heart and say, I don't want that anymore. I want the Word of God in there. Meditate on the Word of God. Isaiah 26:3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. It takes perfect peace to sleep in a boat full of water. A lot of times we stay awake at night because of decisions we face the next day. But He will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind on Him. He's in control. We pray so many times, Lord, I got this problem. I'm going to lay it at your feet and I want you to take care of it. And then we just walk around, you know. When are you going to take care of it? Well, come on. I laid it at your feet. You know. And we forget that He's got it. Did we really lay it at His feet, or did we kind of leave a string attached? And we, you know, all right. Okay, we're not getting an answer. Bring it over here. I'm going to take care of it again. But we need to meditate on His Word. Keep it in our minds. It's a calming effect. It's kind of like the river flowing. It's just kind of like you think about what God, and the Holy Spirit lays a verse on your mind like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't have to worry about that. That's perfect peace. I can sit at work and sit at my desk and with a bunch of reprobates around me and just have peace knowing that I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know I got friends right now that are praying for me. We just made a whole list of requests that people, your brothers and sisters in Christ, shared with you tonight. And they expect you to pray for them and to keep them held up before God. That's a piece that we can take with us out of here tonight. If nothing else, we can say, my brothers and sisters are praying for me and the requests that I made. Or just, like Pastor does, he goes to the directory and just prays for families. You know, that's a blessing. That's a peace we can have because we have a God that hears and answers prayer. But all He asks us to do is meditate on His Word. Read something in the morning and don't just read your Bible to read it, but you read a verse that sticks out to you and you just take that and think about that all day. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's probably going to nail something that you're going to face that day. But meditate on the Word of God. Romans 8, 3 through 6, I'll read it for you. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's your peace. Thinking, meditating on spiritually minded is to be thinking about the things of God. Thinking about verses in the Bible. Thinking about the message you heard on Sunday. Letting it sink into your heart. That's peace. Oh, a little more guidance for me through this life. I just got a little more guidance. That helps me take the next step in my Christian life. I can do this. This is good. I got peace. 2 Timothy 1:17, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Just to think, you know, we all struggled. I don't know. We've all been saved for a different amount of years in here. I just got to celebrate 21 years of being saved. Praise the Lord. It's been a blessing. It just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter as the days go on. But my mind is starting to filter out some of the things. You know, I've mentioned this before, but we all go into Walmart or our favorite store and whatever that might be, and they put in the Todd tape. And here's all the songs I used to listen to, you know, back when I was listening to the, you know, and there it is. There, oh, I know that song. I know that song. And Jake will look up at me. Is this a Todd tape? Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, and it's a shame that we can sit here and quote words to songs off a whole album. Album, that's a plastic disc thing. Back and vinyl kind of thing. Off the MP3 player. You know, it's a shame. And then we can't quote a chapter of Scripture. How are we supposed to keep our minds on Christ? How are we supposed to meditate on the Word of God if there's nothing there to meditate on? You know, over the years, starting to replace those memories of things in the past and the regrets that you have with things of the Lord and Scripture, it's starting to get a little easier. It's not easy, but it's starting to get a little easier to deal with things during the day. Today I had a rough one, but that's behind me now. I can only press on to the next one. Philippians 4, where it says, a peace that passeth all understanding. Let's go over there real quick. Philippians chapter 4, it's worth reading. It's the Word of God. Scripture is very valuable. Philippians chapter 4, let's see, verses 4. Well, let's see. Well, here it is, 8 verses we've read many, many times. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good. Ever notice that all these are virtues and attributes of God Almighty? They're all that. So things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Shall be with you. You think on these things. You read about the attributes of God. We hear how great He is. How great is He in our lives? Do we think about it often? Do we think about His attributes and how He wants to be part of our lives and how we're supposed to be Christ-like in our mind and our thoughts? It says here, if we think on those things, He's going to be there with us. That's great. There's your peace. To have peace, to sleep in a boat full of water. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love something, you think about it. Great peace have they which love thy law. You love the Word of God as much as you love your wife? You love the Word of God as much as you love recreation and doing things in the world? You love the Word of God that much? Would you die for the Word of God? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing in this book should be offensive to you if you love it. Nothing at all. You love the Word of God and you have great peace. Great peace. All right. So, being doers of the Word. Meditate on the Word of God. Okay, number 3, follow the Spirit's leading. Follow the Spirit's leading. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What did He leave with us? He left the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here to guide us into all things that are right. All the things that He has said unto us. His thing that He's going to bring into remembrance is the Word of God. Well, hey, that isn't what the Word of God... When you get pricked in your heart about something you're doing wrong, it's because you're violating Scripture. You're violating what God has already set in place as this is what I told you to do. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. And you're like, just kind of like a cattle prod, you know. You're walking down the trail and, get back on the trail, you know. Let's get back on the trail. We're supposed to follow the Spirit's leading. That time, when you get that feeling, say, wow, should I be doing this? You probably shouldn't. It's pretty simple, you know, we think about it. You know, it's a matter of thing. Romans 8, we already talked about that. We read it once already. Following the Spirit's leading. Romans 8, 3 through 6. And it talks about that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We follow the Spirit. We're after Him. Wherever He goes, wherever He leads us, that's where we go. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, if you're following your flesh, is death. But to be spiritually minded, if you're following the Spirit, is life and peace. We need to follow the Spirit's leading. We need to follow it every day. Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn over there real quick. Galatians chapter 5. 5. I thought the teens had it bad, right? Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you're following the Spirit, that's just one of the fruits. Peace. You're going to be able to have peace in your life. You're going to be able to lay down when the storms hit. You're going to be able to get a pillow, go in the hinder part of the ship that's full of water, and take a nap. Because you're following the Spirit. And He said, the fruits of the Spirit are, one of them is peace. So, following the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, we already talked, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. What a blessing it is sometimes when problems come that, usually it takes us to get to the end where we've tried everything that we can possibly do to rectify a situation and there's nowhere else to turn but God. Well, God, I've done everything I can do. He's like, good, I got you right where I want you. Only I can answer this prayer. Only I can take care of this situation now. And we can have, but we don't have to get that far. We can stop right when it comes and say, and look ahead and say, God, I don't have the means, I don't have the money, I don't have the wherewithal to stand this storm. My boat is full. I just got to leave it in your hands and go take a nap. Just go take a nap. Let Him take care of it. He's loving that stuff. He's like, all right, let's do this. And because He knows when that happens, only He could have done it, and only He's going to get the praise for it. That's what He wants. I want the glory. I want the praise. Not only am I going to get the praise for what I've done, but my son or my son in the Lord, my daughter in the Lord, is now going to serve me and let me handle more of their problems because they've seen this happen. They've seen me take care of these things for them, and they're going to let me lead them now. That's if we follow the Spirit. We have a sound mind. These guys at work, every day when we have med call, they line up for their pills. They don't have a sound mind. What happens when the pills run out? What happens if the prescription doesn't come in? What are you going to do? Freak out? You have nothing to go back on. You're depending on man and what they can do for you. And all they're doing is put you in a coma. A medical coma. And man sits back and says, look what we did. You did nothing. They're going to leave here three times more a drug addict than when they came in. Only it's prescription now.
That makes it better.
Unbelievable. I've seen guys come in there 6'6", 280 pounds. They could rip your head off in a heartbeat. And in 2 years' time, they walk out of there just looking like a beaten feed bag. Just because of the drugs that they're giving them. They're just unbelievable. They don't have a sound mind. They have to go from one material thing to the next. They're, you know, winning arguments, and it's all about pride. You know, I got to be right. I'm right in everything I do. And it's all about material things and what they can do, and you know, all the women they've slept with, and all the things that they've done in their lives, and who's number one in sports, or they had an argument one time in the laundry of who has the most money. You know, Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson. And they were ready to fight over this. I'm like, you guys are crazy. Stupid. That doesn't even matter. So just for fun, on my break, I went and looked it up, and they both had exactly the same amount of money that they were worth. So I went back. I said, you see this? How empty is that? So what if you win the argument? What? It just leads on to another argument. You don't have a sound mind. None of that stuff matters. Nothing at all. Only God can give a sound mind. And that comes through being a doer of the Word, meditating on His Word, and following the Spirit. And then the last thing here, I told you it was simple. Trust in the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. That's all it is. Psalm 4, 4 through 8, we read this already. I won't ask you to turn to it. But it says, stand in awe, and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. There be many that say, who will show us good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. What's your trust in? The stock market? Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. That'd be fun, huh? No wonder people jump to their death. My land. What is your trust in? We have an almighty God. We have a perfect Word of God. There's not many that believe that anymore. Not many at all. But we have that. We have that. We can put our trust in Him and know that He's going to answer prayers and meet our needs. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Are we trusting Him? Are we taking our problems and just say, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. Then you can just relax and be of a sound mind. What a blessing that is. To have that peace. You know, we all struggle with taking matters into our own hands many, many times, over and over and over again. But if we could just learn to trust Him more, trust Him and just and put everything on His plate, so to speak. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, just a page over from Galatians there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that by that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Think about that. God hated us. He hates sin. And we were sinners. He wanted nothing to do with us, but He sent His only begotten Son anyways to die on the cross for our sins. And through Him, through Christ, through accepting Him as our Savior, we now have peace with God Almighty. He can't look at us with a an eye of condemnation anymore, but he can look at us and say, that's one of my sons. We have that peace now. That sin has been taken away, has been blotted out by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. What a blessing that is. Now go take a nap. You know, it's simple. It's simple. Being doers of the Word, meditating on the Word, following the Spirit, trusting the Lord. It's simple. But yet it's so hard. Because we battle the flesh every single day. Colossians 3:15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God, that's Christ. To us, it's Christ. To us, it's the Word of God. To us, knowing that we have a Father in heaven who cares so much about us that all we have to do is ask Him to take care of things, and He will. He sits up there waiting for us to ask Him questions. Asking Him to answer our prayers and take care of us. And that brings peace. That brings peace. God's peace is our peace, is Jesus Christ. That's our peace. It brings us into reconciliation with God the Father. If we trust Him, we know He'll be there for us. If we read His Word, we know His Word is true. There's people that go to church every Sunday right around us here who go to church not knowing, doubting the Word of God. Doubting the very thing that can bring them peace. Doubting the very thing that can help them sleep better at night. It's supposed to be a book that brings them closer to God. But they have doubted. It's missing verses. Things are changed. It's not the right thing. I get nothing from it. That's your new versions. That's the Bibles. They're junk. Okay? They tell you about a God that's not even real. Alright? That's a sad thing. And then they get mad at us at a parade when we try to hand them a tract about the truth. That's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. Alright, that was a little sidetrack. But now this last thing. This is just kind of off the subject a little bit. But think about this. In Luke chapter 19, when he says, if these are silenced, if these won't speak, oh, let's go over there real quick. Real quick, if you don't mind. Luke chapter 19. Another reason why Christ could lay in a boat full of water and sleep. Taking a nap in a boat full of water. Amazing. Luke 19, verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, of course, from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I just picture God, Jesus Christ, laying in a boat full of water. I don't know if he was underwater or what. I mean, he's God. He can do just about anything. But I'm assuming his head was above water. And he's laying there on his pillow, covered with water, sound asleep. Meanwhile, the disciples are running around like madmen trying to get the water out of the boat. And here I just picture this. I kind of go with things a little bit, so bear with me. I picture Christ getting in the boat from shore. And they set sail and they start going across the ocean. And here's Christ in the boat, grabs his pillow. He said, I'm going to go take a nap. You know, he walks over, falls asleep. And the water says, wasn't that the Creator? Isn't that the Creator? In that boat, I just saw him. I saw him get in there. It's the Creator. I want to go in. I want to see him. I want to see him. And hey, wind! Hey, can you give me a little nudge here? Hey, can you get me in the boat? I want to see the Creator. And sure, here comes a woof. Here comes the wind. It's beating against the ship, and it's filling the water. And now the boat is full of water. And he's sound asleep. But here's all this water around him just going, praise. Holy, holy, holy. Praise God Almighty. The wind's going, hey, look what I can do. Woo! The water's splashing over the boat. And it's like, just pray. And the water's just all around him, just praising his name. His disciples that were supposedly so close to him and knew him personally, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to get the water out of the boat. They're not praising him. But the water was. The wind was. And they're like sitting, you know, instead of turning to the Creator of the universe to stop the storm and take away the storm and have the peace that he had, he's down there he's probably sleeping with a smile on his face because the water's going, holy, holy, that's the Creator. Look at him. He's sound asleep. This is awesome. We get to spend time. He spoke us into existence. That's amazing. If we won't do it, the rocks will. If we won't do it, the water will. When I go out, Seth can appreciate this. I hit a nice shot, but then the wind takes it and woo, you know, way off to the right. But then I look at the wind now. It's just different now. I look at the wind blowing the leaves, and it's just like the wind praising God. The leaves are flapping in the wind, like praising God. The waves are driving me away from where the fish are. But the waves are praising God. It's just nature saying, God is great. They're praising God. They're clapping their hands and saying, holy, holy, holy. Here's a boat full of water, and he's able to sleep because his followers weren't doing what he asked, but his creation was. That's just the way I look at it. If we're not going to do what he wants us to do, he's going to get somebody that will, or something that will. Let's strive for this. None of us, well, maybe you have. I haven't attained this yet. I couldn't take a nap in a boat full of water. I still get that twinge in my heart saying I got to do something. But I have an almighty God at my disposal who can sleep in a boat full of water. Why don't I just give it to him to take care of and go take a nap? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this, your word. I thank you so much for the truth in it. And Lord, I just pray that we would strive more and more to be at peace with you and be at peace with our surroundings. Lord, the times in this world are getting tough, but you have us here for this time. There's a reason. I just pray that we would strive to be more and more like you in all that we do. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed for a moment. I don't know about you, but I still have bad days. Really bad days. Struggling with my flesh, struggling with the things going on in the world, watching the news, that's no comfort. But we have peace that we can have through Christ, through His Word, through just trusting Him, meditating on His Word. Thank you. coming tonight. And hope you have a good rest of the week. Help us trust Him more. It's a daily thing. One day at a time, right? Just pray, read your Bibles, pray and trust Him more in all we do. Jeff Sadie, can you pray for us, please? All right, thanks for coming. We'll see you Sunday or Saturday.